Biotex, the new soak and pre-wash powder, brings you SF-68. Stories which plunge vividly into other worlds, other dimensions, other times. SF-68.
I received a letter from Mrs. Bookvites of Spoonside, Cape Town, during the week, and she wrote to me about biotechs. She said, my daughter's gym tunic was very badly stained, with the result she would not wear it. I decided to try biotechs, which you advertise, and I soaked the garment for a few hours, and much to my amazement, the stains disappeared. I've spoken about this product to my friends who are now using biotechs, and I'd like to say a big thank you for making this product available to us. Well, as I've been saying for a little while, Mrs. Bookvites and you other ladies, biotechs is absolutely marvelous when it comes to helping get rid of those very stubborn stains. I've kept on emphasizing that you let soaking do your washing. And you will notice that these stains just vanish by using biotechs merely by soaking overnight or for a couple of hours in warm water or pre-washing in your washing machine. It is spelt B-I-O-T-E-X.
SF-68 presents Wanted in Surgery by Harlan Ellison, adapted for radio and produced by Michael McKay. Wanted in Surgery.
In the year 2088 A.D., the government passed a law, the new Hippocratic Law, which stated, all ministrations shall henceforth be confined to government-sponsored hospitals. Emergency cases necessitating attendance outside said institutions shall be handled only, repeat, only by registered physician mechanicals issuing from registered hospital pools. Any irregularities or deviations from this procedure shall be handled as cases outside the law, and illegal attendance by non-mechanical physicians shall be severely punishable by cancellation of practicing licenses and or fine and imprisonment. Doctors who had been licensed before the advent of the Fimex, or robot doctors, were maintained at slashed salaries. They were reduced to assistants, interns. There was dissatisfaction. In 2091, Kolbenschlag, the greatest brain surgeon of them all, died from acute alcoholism and a broken heart. Of the small legion of men who still walked the antiseptic corridors of the hospitals, many could not adjust. Men like Stuart Bergman, M.D. This is his story.
Stuart. Kolbenschlag's dead. Huh? I'm sorry, Stu. Sorry. He made page 118, five lines. They said he was a pre-Fimex surgeon of some skill.
Kolbenschlag.
I was going to come in earlier, but I didn't feel like watching the operation.
Kolbenschlag. Dead. Poor brain up. One day it should be a mere goiter job or a planter stripping, but no.
Now, Stu.
Today it's got to be a brain job with the Bimex 30 telescoping... telescoping arms slashing into the patient.
All right, Stu,
look
now,
at them
don't...
down there in the theater, will you? Look at them. I spent 10 years of my life training to be a physician, and now I sit watching, faceless blocks of metal. Do those 10 years better than I could in 100 years.
All right, Stu, let's go. We needn't wait till the end of the encore.
Colburn Schlag's dead. They killed him. Those things down there, those lumps of tin sawing through a man's skull.
All right, Stu, there's
stop
nothing...
Stop it!
Stu, you can't do anything about it.
Not even a Stu. Dead. He lies down there, those Stu. Rotten metal things. Things ripping into my face.
Stuart!
Merciful heavens! Where's the way? Where?
Stuart,
where?
For pity's sake, listen. You'll have Calkins in here in a minute.
All right. Take it to my office for observation. I'll be right there.
The operating theater's my home. It's been taken over by monsters.
Ignore the outburst, gentlemen. There's always someone who gets squeamish at the sight of a well-performed operation.
Another outburst like that and you'll lose your license. They'll bar you from practicing. Calkins has no luck to you.
Every time I see one of those things picking around inside one of my patients, I get sick to my stomach. What do you mean, bar me from practicing? Find out the practicing I do now. Or you, for that matter.
Keep your voice down. Blast it, Stu. Look, man, you have no logical scientific reason for hating the Fimex.
Science doesn't come into it, Murray. This is from the gut, not the brain.
Look, the robots are infallible. They're safer, and they can do a job quicker and with less mess than even, well, even a Kolbenschlag.
Yeah, but don't you see?
I'll get you another drink. Come on.
At least Kolbenschlag, even with those great thick glasses of his, was human. It wasn't like having a piece of stovepipe rummaging around inside a patient's brain. Oh, no. Listen to that. Listen to it. Murray, what do we come to? Machines, machines, machines here in this canteen. They mix 150 drinks perfectly in minutes. And that noise they call music. Machines brush our teeth, lull us to sleep, and operate perfectly on human beings. Well, there must be something they can't do. There must be. Otherwise, we're doomed, all of us. And we're doctors. Grateful for any small bone that's thrown our way once a fortnight. Allowed to perform one single simple operation a fortnight. With those chunks of tin for assistants. But they're really overseers. It's degrading. I took an oath 1,000,000 years ago now.
Getting a bit noisy, aren't you, Dr. Burton?
I was just airing a few views, Dr. Calkins. That's all I...
Rather nasty views, I must say. Might be construed as dissatisfaction with the way I'm running things here at Memorial. You wouldn't want anyone to think that, would you, Doctor?
Oh, no. I didn't mean that at all. I just thought that if we physicians had a few more operations, a few more difficult...
Don't you think the Fimex are quite capable of handling any such, Dr. Bergman?
Well, it's just that I'm a doctor, not doing
anything... That's enough. The Fimex have a finer record than any human physician.
Yes, but they haven't been fully tested.
If you want to remain on the payroll of this hospital, Dr. Bergman, even as an assistant, you'd better tone down and watch yourself. We have our eyes on you.
But I
said that's enough, Bergman. That is all. Thank you.
I'll be going. Oh, thanks for having a drink with me, Murray.
Stuart, don't forget it.
Why am I suffering? Why is my once full life empty and framed by
worthlessness. Why am I afraid? Because the Phymics have taken over.
Because the Phymics have taken over. Well, they've got to be stopped. They must be discredited. How?
3 days later, the answer came to Bergman as horribly as he might have wished. It came in the form of a practical demonstration, and he was never to forget it. He assisted a Phymek on his scheduled operating assignment. The patient had been involved in a thresher accident on one of the group farms. He had lost both legs from below the knees. The Phymek went to work with instruments clasped in 9 of its 13 magnetic tips.
It'll be close all the way. The Phymek's fast and efficient. No human could save this one.
Stuart Bergman was engrossed as he watched the Phymek's technique. The gleam of the instruments being whipped from their cubicles in the machine storage bin chest. Bergman was engrossed. So engrossed, he failed to adjust the anesthesia cone properly. The faint hiss of escaping air reached him too late. The patient suddenly sat up. The man on the operating table had seen what they had done to him, seen the faceless metal entity working over him, realized he was alone with a machine, fainted, and died.
Oh, why didn't you try and help him? Help him! Soothe him! He's dying. He's dying because he's in shock. He doesn't want to live. Just a word would... Let me...
No interference, please. This is against the rules.
Murray, you've got to understand. The Phymex went on operating calmly, perfectly, on a corpse. The operation was a success. Only the patient was dead. It's not human.
But surely the blasted Phymek knew the man was in a panic. The brain's built into those machines. They're geared...
Yes, the Phymek lowered the adrenaline count. It knew. But don't you understand, Murray? The robot ministered to the patient's body, not his mind. One word, just one, might have saved him. You see, Murray, the Phymex have no bedside manner. The thing just stood there repairing tissue while the patient died in hopelessness and terror. And lives will go on and on being lost because the human element has been removed.
I feel sick. I feel so sick. But what can we do? I'll tell you nothing.
You're wrong, Murray. Wrong. They can't make a robot physician that's perfect, able to understand the psychology of the human mind. Therefore, the Phymex must be discarded. Destroyed.
Yes, yes, of course, but how?
I know how. It'll mean my own destruction. But now, I know.
Since biotechs appeared on the market, we've had many endorsements from time to time, and these can be seen in our office. I am broadcasting some of these to you, and will do so as they come to hand. Mrs. M.V. Krauser of Fifth Avenue Pinetown, Natal, wrote and said, "Here's a letter from me of appreciation to the makers of biotechs. I am highly satisfied with biotechs and have introduced my friends to your product, and so far there has not been one complaint that it does not live up to the claims you make for it. I have 2 sons aged 2.5 and 1 year. The elder boy gets filthy dirty, and his clothes are pretty much the worse for wear at the end of the day. The baby naturally drags himself about, and his little diap has become very black and dirty at the end of each day, too. The point I'm trying to make with you is that every night I soak these diapers and the elder child's clothing in biotechs, and in the morning, all I have is a slight rubbing and rinsing, and that's it. The name again is Biotex.
There are many paths to destruction. Bergman chose a strange one. Each day that passed meant another life that passed under the knife of a perfect, fast, efficient, but non-human surgeon. There are many paths to destruction. Bergman's plan was one of desperation. He would kill one of his patients. Came the day of his operation, the morsel thrown the way of a human surgeon once a fortnight. This was Stuart Bergman's day. He walked into the theater. The rolling Fimec with a tabletop upon which the patient lay hurried to the operating table. The machine lowered its tabletop and bolted it into place. The doctor looked down at his patient, and his resolve left him. She was a thin young girl with laugh lines in her face that could never be erased, except by death. Formalities taken care of, Bergman carefully made a longitudinal incision. An ordinary job. No peritonitis.
Please, God, forgive me. I must sever an artery. The robot will know what I've done and will repair the damage. I will cut another. The robot will repair it, and then another. Repair, another, repair, another, another. Again, again. Until finally, the thymic will overload and freeze. Then I'll overturn the table. The girl will die. There'll be an inquiry and a trial. I shall blame the robot for her death. I'll tell my story at the inquiry, and they must stop using these monsters until the problem's solved. But, dear God, what good will it be to win my point if I lose my soul?
And slowly, carefully, Bergman removed the appendix, and the thymic silently moved in to complete the routine operation. Bergman turned away and left the theater. Rain, scheduled for that time of the night by WeatherX.
That was my chance. But it was the wrong chance. It could never be right if it started from something like that girl's death.
And as he walked aimlessly, there was a silent movement in the shadows as the robot cop followed him. They had him under observation, remember? Bergman wasn't trusted. Bergman was the kind of renegade doctor who might...
I don't hate machines. I never did. Only now that they've taken away my humanity. Now that they've taken away my life. Now I hate them.
And behind him, mechanical ears tuned, robot eyes fastened on the slumping, walking man...
You're a doctor, ain't you?
Yes. Why? What do you want?
She was dirty, ill-kempt, from the tenements, the slums, out near the curved-down edge of the climate zone.
Well, what?
I've been watching for 3 days, and Charlie's getting worse and his stomach's swelling, and I noticed you've been coming out of the hospital now for 3 days. You got to come over and see Charlie, mister. He's dying. He just lays there twitching, and every time I go near him, he jumps and starts throwing his arms about and doubling over and everything. And he keeps grinning, Doc, like everything was funny or something. Please, you've got to help him. You've got to. Please, you've got to do something. Please, please.
She's describing tetanus. She's got to get him into hospital. He'll be dead in a day if she doesn't.
Oh, why didn't you take him into the hospital? Why did you wait?
Take him there? Oh, I couldn't. He'd never let me anyway. The last thing he said to me was, don't take me to that hospital, Katie. Promise you won't put me there with them metal things what'll cut into me. Promise you won't do that. And I promise. Because I love him.
If a Robocop sees me talking to this woman, I'll be finished anyway. They'll get me a house practicing. But tetanus can't take a chance.
Get away. Get away from me and don't try to approach a doctor again. If the Robocops see us, they'll arrest us both. You must never approach a doctor. There's the hospital. Go there if you want to save your man. The Vimex are free and better than any human.
We died before we went to them. We thought you were still doctors to help people. But you ain't.
I will keep pure and holy both my life and my art. In whatsoever houses I enter, I will enter to help the sick, and I will abstain from all intentional wrongdoing and harm.
You, woman, wait!
I'm sorry. I'm tired, that's all. Take me to him. I'll be able to help him.
And they went away toward the tenements at the edge of the climate zone, and unseen eyes followed silently. This was the slum. This was Slobtown. This was where the deprived dragged out their lives in an era of plenty when machines served man and man served no one, not even God. They walked and walked, and the eyes followed relentlessly.
There he is, Doc. There. I've bought a croaker for you, Charlie. It's all right, Charlie.
I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do. He's dead.
And at that moment, the machine that had followed them so far struck.
What?
It's one of them things!
And as the robot cop moved in to grapple with Bergman, the woman drew a gun from a holster at her thigh. Immediately, a death light snaked out from the robot cop's body. And the woman falls beside the bed upon which her lover lies. The machine goes about its business of arresting Bergman.
Please do not resist arrest.
What can a mere man do against the machines he has created? And so Stuart Bergman came to the end of his career. He went on trial with the option of human fallible jury or robotic infallible jury mech. Ironically, he chose a human jury.
Deus ex machina. I'm going to give you a run for your money today.
And the trial began. The testimonies were long, hours. Finally, he was allowed to tell his story.
The years during which I studied. For what? Kolbenschlag's death. Fritz was a great human being with a soul. Beside him, a machine is nothing. The day of the operation, the man might have been saved. He died from fear at the sight of a robot
and its helplessness when faced with a human problem of psychology. Calkins' approach to medicine, the very sight of things of metal. Invaders in the physician's domain. The people fear and hate the machines. The woman whom I went to help in the tenements. Her man died from a terrible disease because of the Fimex.
And finally the jury rose, and they said they must have more time.
You've won, Stu. You've won. People are scared, but they're scared the right way. They're considering their position and the relation of the robot to them. The news sheets are full of it. Already there's a movement afoot for a return to human domination. You were right all along. It just took guts, that's all.
Which I haven't got.
You haven't got? Oh, who if not you?
I remember a doctor taking insult after insult from Calkins with no more than a bowed head.
That was another day. They've got Calkins up for investigation. It seems there was some sort of collusion between him and the manufacturers of the Fimex. That was why they were put in so quickly before they could be properly tested. The company, by the way, has testified that it's impossible to build in a bedside manner. Too nebulous a concept or something. You've won your case, Stu. There'll be a lot of rethinking now. It's your victory.
Victory? Mine? Man. I just happened to do something that brought it about, that's all. It had to happen. Otherwise, we'd have lost our souls. We've stopped ourselves from going all the way to dependence and decadence. We've reversed a terrible trend. Now, the machines will work for man, not man for the machines. Today's the most important day I can remember. Got a cigarette, Murray?
Well, there's a tobacco punch over there on the wall, Stu. What brand do you want?
No. Oh, no. Have you, in your pocket, Murray, an ordinary packet of cigarettes? I don't want them from the tobacco punch on the wall.
Here. Thanks.
Before you go, I want to say, ladies, a little bit more about Biotex, the amazing new washing product now on the market. You've heard what people all over the country are saying about Biotex. They're saying it is different to any washing product they've ever used before. With amazing new Biotex, the stubbornest stains will vanish. Yes, vanish. Clean away. Just by soaking your laundry overnight in cold water, or for an hour or two in warm water, or by pre-washing it quickly in your washing machine. So, get amazing new Biotex today.
Clean, clean, everything soon will be clean, clean, for all the world to see. Soak, soak, stains away easily when you use new Biotex.
You have just been listening to Wanted in Surgery by Harlan Ellison. Brought to you by Biotex, the new soak and pre-wash powder. Wanted in Surgery was adapted for broadcasting and produced by Michael McCabe. Listen again next Friday night at 9:30 to SF 68.